Hello and welcome to the Let's Talk Energy podcast brought to you by EnergyNet in collaboration with the Electricity Hub. I am your host, Blessing Afolabi, and this episode is in anticipation of the Zimbabwe-Zambia Energy Project Summit, ZIMZAM, which will take place on November 26-28, 2025 at the Radisson Blue Livingstone Resort in Zambia. Today, we'll be sitting with two representatives from one of the companies sponsoring the ZIMZAM conference to discuss Beyond the Grid, financing Southern Africa's energy revolution. Southern Africa is entering a defining decade for energy development, from Zambia's rapid push to expand energy access and scale renewable projects to regional efforts to strengthen cross-border power systems. The conversation around financing sustainable and reliable power has never been more urgent. At ZIMZAM 2025, where stakeholders are showcasing how private sector partnerships are fast-tracking energy projects and positioning the region as Africa's next major investment destination, we speak with Helen Lubamba, Head of Corporate and Investment Banking at Stanbic Bank, Zambia, and Renshia Van Tonda, Head of Power, Corporate and Investment Banking at Standard Bank. Together, they bring national and regional perspectives on energy access, renewable project financing, climate resilience, and future of Southern Africa's energy mix. This conversation explores how Zambia and its neighbors can get ahead by mobilizing capital, leveraging regional integration, and accelerating the shift toward clean, reliable power. Hello, Helen. Thank you so much for joining us on the episode of Let's Talk Energy.
Hello, and thank you very much for the invite. Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello, Renshia. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Let's Talk Energy.
Thanks for having us. I'm looking forward to the discussion.
Great. I'm looking forward to it as well. And we are delighted to have you both on this episode. So we'll delve right into the conversation now, because I'm really anticipating your insights on South Africa's energy revolution. So I will start with Helen, right? Could you please quickly paint a picture of the current state of energy in Zambia, particularly in terms of energy access, rural electrification, and where the most significant gaps remain? As you are the head of corporate and investment banking for Standard Bank in Zambia, I'm sure you have a lot of insights to share with us. Let's have you, please.
Oh, thank you. I think what we can start off with just painting a picture of what the energy landscape has been in Zambia, and that is a heavy reliance on hydro. About 80% has been a reliance on hydro. And we've taken the hydro energy power supply. It's just been part of our Zambian landscape. So we've kind of taken it for granted. You've got the various falls in various parts of the country, Kariba being one of the largest. And it's a country that has enjoyed good rainfalls with a few bouts of drought. But also add to that landscape a growing population. And at the time of independence, we were sitting around 7 million people. Now we're sitting around 21 plus million people. So over the years, the demand for energy has been increasing, but this is what has been happening to that landscape. One, the drought situations, which became very acute last year when we faced a severe drought, the worst in about 100 years. Two, we've got a growing production, a productive society, mining also picking up, which has also been the underlying part of our economy, that picking up, energy requirements, and of course, the general development of the country. And when you look at the investment in infrastructure, the infrastructure itself hasn't grown fast. And then when you go into the rural side as well, you find that most of the developments are happening either in the mining regions, in the rural parts, and where we use electricity in the agriculture sector is mainly where irrigation and the commercial farmers are. But most of the subsidiary farmers are reliant on rainfall patterns. Disruptions to rainfall patterns, and therefore disruptions to our hydro power, and then, of course, not being able to meet the energy demand. So we're sitting at about 1,400 megawatts deficit today, and we aim to grow an additional 4.4 gigawatts of energy by 2030 to kind of reach a target of about 10 gigawatts by the year 2030 is what the national plans are. So a huge deficit just based on the fabric of how the country has been set up. And then, of course, the rural side also not seeing as much development as we've seen in the more industrialized part of the country.
Thank you so much, Helen, for giving us that brilliant overview of the current state of energy in Zambia. I see, like you mentioned, that there's a huge deficit, majorly because Zambia relies on hydro, right? And then there's been, severe drought recently. and also like infrastructure investment hasn't grown so fast. And also rural development as well of energy access project has not also been so fast as well. And there's a huge deficit because you're targeting about 10 gigawatts by 2030. Thank you for making us understand the current landscape. And I would like to now throw the second question to Raisha, which would really try to give us a kind of understanding. Seeing that there's a deficit, we know there's a challenge with the current state of energy in Zambia, but we know that as there are challenges, these challenges also pose significant opportunities as well. And we know that Standard Bank is doing a lot of work around energy access across the region, playing a significant role, especially in terms of renewable energy financing, developing green bonds, and, you know, offering solar finance solutions. So Renshaw, can you just tell us more about world financing trends or instruments are helping to scale clean energy projects in Southern Africa? Because we know that since there's a deficit, there's an issue of reliance on hydro, but then the drought has also caused, you know, slow access projects. What ways, what innovative financing trends are or instruments is Standard Bank employing in order to help scale clean energy projects in Southern Africa? And how are these projects helping to reshape the region's energy mix and reducing reliance on fossil fuels?
At Standard Bank, we finance probably over the last 10 to 12 years more than 13 gigawatts of renewable energy in the region. Although the bulk of that is in South Africa on the back of programmatic approaches, we've been very instrumental in driving the change and the funding trends in specifically renewable energy as a mitigant to climate change across our presence market. So we've seen the developments in Zambia on the back of the crisis and the emergency, not only as a challenge, but actually as an opportunity. And I think one of the key things that we do see in terms of financing renewable energy projects, one needs to see an enabling environment. So if you don't have the regulatory environment to support private sector investment, private sector funding, like Standard Bank being a commercial bank and partnering with investors to be able to unlock opportunity of urgency in terms of addressing the supply shortage, you may not be able to do that. So a lot of our collaboration is not only in terms of finding the right financing products, but also to align with the enabling environment, to work with regulators and local governments, unlocking local currency funding opportunities, but at the same time, you know, ensuring that the projects are bankable. And I think to that extent, when we talk about financing trends, especially outside of South Africa and in the Africa regions, it has been still driven by project finance on the back of bankable projects. We've seen a number of renewable energy projects being financed through project finance and not necessarily just focusing on local currency unlock, but also hard currency project finance support. And I think that is, to a certain extent, the norm. However, what we're trying to do is find better ways to be able to support the local economies in terms of these type of instruments. I think the last point just around reshaping the region's energy mix is also driven around the benefits of a specific country in terms of its resource base. And to that point, I think Helen touched on it, the vast resources that Zambia has in terms of hydro and the recent impact in terms of supply sufficiency and the need to bring in renewable, more modular type of resources that can support the supply linkages. I need to acknowledge that if you can leverage the region, you can also do that. And that is exactly what we've done through innovative financing instruments supporting the country in an emergency situation.
Thank you so much, Raisha, for that brilliant submission on the work that the Standard Bank is doing in the region. Especially, I was so excited to hear that you funded about 15 gigawatts of renewable energy projects in the region. And that, more importantly, you're not just focused on only funding projects, right? You're also focused on working with governments to ensure an enabling environment for private sector participation and investment, and also to unlock local financing, ensuring bankable projects. Well done, and kudos to you and your team for the brilliant work that you're doing to expand energy access in the region. And speaking still about renewable energy projects, right, because this is like an opportunity that we see that Zambia can really harness to boost energy access in the country. So Helen, which renewable energy projects or developments would you say is currently shaping Zambia's energy trajectory? I know that Zambia has a target of about 1,000 megawatts of solar by 2025, and then still has more targets over the coming years by 2030. Which renewable energy projects or development do you say is currently shaping Zambia's energy trajectory? Let us know more. And what makes them significant for long-term energy security?
Okay. Thank you for that. So we're targeting 1,000 megawatts per year. So this year, this is the government's targets for the country. And so 2025, I think we've done about 300 megawatts as a country additional in renewables. So big gap in terms of where we need to go versus our ambitions, but the momentum has picked up, which is the good news. And therefore we should be seeing more coming on. And just to say that that 1,000 megawatts of renewable that's been targeted per year is still not sufficient to close the energy gap. So we'll still sit with another shortfall of close to 1,000 megawatts if we're to meet the 10 gig ambition that we have as a country. But all the same, the progress is being made. We ourselves have participated in two major solar developments at the project finance in the Kariba, first ever green bond in Zambia. They launched it 2 years ago and we participated in the second tranche of our 200 million program. So those are the key ones that we can talk to in the last 12 to 18 months that we've done. But we also have a large pipeline of deals that we're working on, some project finance and some a combination. The reason solar is also having the biggest uptake is because it's quick. And if you're in a crisis, you want to have your emergency solutions, your project coming in country. So we're looking forward to seeing financial clue towards the end of next year. The other renewable that we're also looking at is also hydro. As much as we're reliant on hydro, we've also been reliant on hydro in certain parts of the country, which is mainly the southern part. Now with climate change, which we have seen because of the impact it's having on the country, we need to also follow the change in the climate patterns. And therefore, there's opportunities to develop hydropower more in the western and the northwestern part of the country so that we can diversify regionally as well within the country. So quite a number of projects coming through. And one of the things that's also been an enabler for us is the fact that we've got significant policy shifts that the government has brought in. And that has helped to open up the market to independent power producers. One of them is also the tariff migration, making sure we're getting more cost reflective. Because if you want business to participate, it needs to be worth their while. So once you start bringing in more cost reflective tariffs, it allows the market to open up. And then also the development of the Southern African power pool, and soon we'll be seeing an Eastern African power pool. We'll also be getting renewable power coming from the north, from the likes of the Ethiopia, coming through Tanzania, etc. So opportunities are there. It is for us, the governments, private sector, regional integration is also becoming more and more important. It's not just about Zambia solving for Zambia. It's the regional integration that we need so we can balance out areas of surplus to areas of deficits. The only way you can do that is if you can integrate and have policies that allow for that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Erlene. Fantastic submissions. And I'd like to say kudos to Standard Bank and Stanbic Bank Zambia for the work that has been done in the region, and particularly that despite, you know, the challenges, the recent drought and all climate change issues, and as well as the gap with energy access projects, the momentum is picking up. So very interesting to know this. And we know that as the days go by, we're going to see the impact of this project affect and trickle down to other aspects of the economy. And you really spoke a lot about, you know, the climate stress and how it's affecting hydro projects, right? But then there's also opportunity to, you know, harness it in other regions to balance out energy projects across board. So to Rentia, as Southern Africa is experiencing climate stress, right, ranging from the drought to extreme weather, how is the region responding? You know, we'd love to learn more from you for the broader Southern African region. And what does the just energy transition look like in practice from your financing standpoint?
I think it's a good question, especially given the challenges that we do experience in the region. And I think there's a big push from all the countries to try and be self-sufficient, whether that is through focusing on renewables or hydro projects or other type of developments. What we do see is that there's certainly a focus on green or clean projects. When you look at the just energy transition, it is also linking it to the impact on communities, the ability to create jobs and the ability to be able to drive, you know, more meaningful social impact through some of these projects that you do. And I think what we've seen is definite uptick in terms of the appetite of investors in the African region looking at renewable energy. And I think what we do find is sometimes there's a lack of bankable projects rather than, you know, the lack of investors. And that's where we as a bank try to play more of a proactive role. And that is not only to be country specific or project specific, but also to be able to look at it from a regional perspective and have the ability to drive the linkages across these regions. And what we've seen lately is a more open mindset towards regional connectivity, looking at how do you facilitate and introduce traders, aggregators, and how do you bank projects where you can diversify your risk. We are moving away from, you know, specific single offtake type projects where you only have one set of risks pointed to one offtaker, but where you can have the ability to diversify your risk. And that supports the innovative way we look at funding and we look at finding more bankable projects to be able to crowd in more and more investors and funders. I think just the last point is around transmission, which I think we can't ignore. In many cases, those type of models where we would like to have more of a regional impact, we lack sufficient transmission infrastructure. And we see that there's a lot of focus to be able to support that, not only in countries, but more in terms of linking different countries and power markets to be able to have a meaningful impact. And private investment is critical in terms of driving that change and regional integration.
Thank you so much, Raisha, for your submission on that. I think what struck me most in your response is the fact that Standard Bank is ensuring bankability of projects. Like you said, it's not the lack of investors that's the issue, but the major issue is more on lack of bankable projects. So kudos to you. I would like to stay back with you for the next question. Helen previously spoke about the South African power pool, right, and how it's also going to help to improve access to power in the coming months and years. So can you speak a little more to that? We know that the South African power pool remains a critical pillar for regional energy trade, right? And we'd love to know from you how SAP is creating value for investors and helping countries get ahead in achieving energy security.
So just around the power pools, I think what we do find is that in many cases, you know, it's something that more and more countries and participants are looking at in terms of unlocking growth. And when we look at the bankability around the power pools and how do we unlock more sustainable finance, it is around how do we link long-term funding for greenfields projects in driving change. And to that end, one needs to look at the different markets, the transmission infrastructure, and the arrangements between the different entities, especially countries, the utilities, and the capacity. And to that end, I think we are making progress, but we haven't seen sizable projects being implemented to date. Private sector involvement is important, and I think I've just highlighted a few of the opportunities that we see where we can be more proactive in bringing them in and ensure that we see more participation of the private sector. When we look at opportunities across the region, many investors are looking for the correct partners. And what we normally say is you need to have the ability to come with a strong, meaningful impact, as well as balance sheet to be able to support the projects and get them through the various phases to implement. We cannot have projects that take too long to implement. We need to be able to fast track some of these projects and have the ability to show that it can make a meaningful change for the countries. And to that end, I think Standard Bank and Stanbic is well positioned, not only to take learnings from a particular country, but to be able to replicate that in various countries and regions.
Thank you, Raisha, for that brilliant response. My takeaway is that Stanbic Bank and Standard Bank is ready to, you know, replicate these lessons that you learned from this project, even onto other regions as well. You spoke a bit about private sector involvement, and even the previous responses you've given, you also emphasized the fact that Standard Bank is ensuring private sector involvement and investment in the region. So, Helen, given the growing importance of private sector involvement rights to propel energy access projects, what role is Stanbic Bank playing in boosting participation? And how is the bank helping to attract and support private investment?
Yeah, thanks, Blessing. I think the key thing around bringing the private sector is that we've learned our lessons that relying 100% on government is inefficient. The government is there to facilitate growth and economic participation and not purely to be funding the developments. Yes, partnering is absolutely key. And I think historically, we've seen in many countries, not just Africa, but globally, rely on the state to address energy supply generation, the whole stream to distribution. This has placed significant burden on governments. And in Africa, we've seen where governments, in terms of trying to ensure that you maintain social peace as well, has resisted tariff increases. But this has been at the detriment where you can have a public utility with 30 years of barely any adjustment in tariff is not sustainable. And one thing that climate crisis has taught us is that this mindset has to shift very quickly. And luckily in Zambia, reform was already coming through. So we already had some of the acts that have been brought in for open access, which finally allowed private participation to come in, and then the bills that were then released to ensure that operationalization of open access was a reality. So the private sector participation requires an enabling environment, a government and its agencies that are open to partnering with the private sector, and also making sure that this is for sustainability, that you need the returns for the private sector to be coming through, and also adding less burden on the fiscus. And one critical thing is also that the fiscus is still needed, like for example, in Zambia, ZESCO, you still need a utility because they've got a giant network that's been established over the last 50 years plus. So you cannot ignore ZESCO. It's about supporting the public utility as much as possible with partnership with the private sector. And as Arensha has spoken to SAP and development of other power pools around the continent and deepening those markets so the private sector can also have that confidence that there's always another way out versus the offtake, and also reducing concentration on just one on one offtake. And Arensha spoke to that as well. So having a more aggregated model and having more ways out than just the reliance on a single offtake. And again, the country utility company also used to be a single offtake model, which we have seen has not been sustainable. So, but everything is going in the right direction. We're seeing developments of those markets, which are pulling in the private sector.
Thank you, Helen. So fantastic to hear that. You know, I think the conversation that I've been having too with other, you know, experts and sponsors for the event has always been around relying, wholly on the government. It's not sufficient. It's inefficient. It's insufficient for us to achieve the goals, the targets for energy access for each year and even by 2030. And great work that Stanbic Bank is doing in ensuring that it is supporting government and bringing more private sector involvement to the sector to propel and advance projects. And like you said, it's not just peculiar to Africa alone, it's global. Private sector investment is very crucial to advancing and expanding energy access. Thank you. It's been a very insightful conversation so far with Raisha and Helen. And I would like to throw the last question to both of you, because I would like to hear your unique perspective on it. And while you're answering this last question, I'd also like you to give us your final statements for this episode of the Let's Talk Energy podcast. So Zimzam 2025, which your company is sponsoring, emphasizes collaboration and fast-tracking projects. How can regional platforms like Zimzam help to unlock investment and accelerate delivery in both Zambia and the broader Southern African development community? So I will start with Helen, and then we close with Renshia. Thank you.
Thank you, Blessing. This will be my first time at Zimzam, so looking forward to it, because looking at the lineup of the participants that are coming in, it's about demonstrating that bringing out the solutions that are needed to address the energy situation on our continent, that in some cases, energy deficits, and in some cases, diversification or both is critical. And so we're seeing quite a number of energy forums bringing parties together. But some of these forums are, I would say, richer than others. And I think Zimzam is one that definitely has demonstrated that, as well as the likes of the African Energy Forums, et cetera. We already have participants who have seen the work that Standard Bank Group and Stanbic Zambia have done. And they're coming in to say, we faced a lot of frustrations and we need to know how to maneuver. Every single project, every single deal to facilitate energy solutions is unique. So that's one of the important things. There's very little cut and paste. You have to look at every single project on its own merits to see whether it's bankable and what you can do to make it bankable if possible. And that's where these forums are important, because you hear some of the solutions that have been out there, and then you can talk to the financiers who have actually led those. And that's why we come in, truly looking forward to those interactions. A lot of the times we find IPPs who think, I've already got my own engineer, I've already got this, I've already got that, so I just need you to give me the funding. It doesn't work like that, because the financiers also need to take comfort from whoever's participating in these facilities. And increasingly people are becoming to realize that. And also having a PPA, power purchase agreement, that's been given to you by the utility company is also not enough. The utility company, yes, wants that power on their grid. But at the end of the day, you have to satisfy the funders that are coming in and the equity providers, et cetera, and the guaranteeing companies, insurance companies that are coming. You need to satisfy them. So those are some of the things that we impart. And it's a great learning for all of us, as well as you see that the different formats that have come out and have been successful. So that's what we're going to get out of participating in Zimzam.
Thank you, Helen. And over to you, Renshia.
Thanks. I think Helen said it well, but I'll just conclude by saying that we believe that having these conversations and conferences in country, in connecting with the teams on the ground, the investors on the ground, and the policymakers is critical. I think what we find when we participated last year was a level of developers actually participating in the conversations and the robust debate in terms of how do we move forward at a faster pace. And that is an important driver in terms of success. And I think there's such great momentum in Zambia as well as in Zimbabwe at the moment in bringing power to industry, unlocking regional opportunities and transmission, that we believe it's a very important gathering and that we would like to see the results and come back and talk about it in a year's time. Thank you.
Thank you so much to my wonderful guests for this episode of Let's Talk Energy. Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Renshia, for sharing this insight on, you know, the energy revolution in the Southern African region. And dear listeners, I hope you have enjoyed the conversation so far and you've picked one or two things. And if you're still contemplating attending Zimzam, here's a cue for you. You've heard from the horse's mouth, from Helen and Renshia, what they're looking forward to at the event. And I hope that you're also preparing to join us to, you know, drive energy access across the region. Thank you again to our speakers, and thank you to our audience for tuning in on this episode. Till we bring you another episode of Let's Talk Energy, I remain your host, Blessing Afolabi. And do ensure to follow us on all our social media platforms, as well as check out our website, both the Electricity Hub and EnergyNet, for more insights into Africa's energy markets. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your day.